It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
House attacking Cameron Johnson goes behind the back, steps through to the rack, finger roll layup and in. Clarkson for three, off balance three, got it! Double clutching off a pick on the left wing.
Good effort last night from the Jazz. Did that sound condescending? It was not. It did not mean to.
No, the youngins, they kind of showed up last night, and they put forth an effort for about 3.45 quarters.
Jazz lose at the Suns. I think we were anticipating that, of course, seeing what the injury report was yesterday with basically everybody out who was a starter and some. Now, as of released about 20 minutes ago, the injury report for tomorrow's game preliminarily for this Jazz versus Suns game here at Vivint Smart Home Arena is Donovan Mitchell still out with concussion protocol. It seems like a long time, by the way.
Wow.
Rudy Gobert out with the left calf strain.
Wow.
Now, those are the only outs right now. Of course, that could change quite a bit before tomorrow. You might see some other questionables, and then you'll see kind of the full-on closer to game time tomorrow. But Donovan and Rudy out again on this game. I'm concerned about...
I have some breaking news before we get too far into this.
Oh, yeah? What do you have?
Well, I've been looking out the window at the John Stockton statue.
Oh, did the mask get taken off?
And I thought earlier that the mask was still on, and so I took a picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can zoom.
You zoomed
in.
Yeah, right?
The mask is gone.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
There's no mask on John Stockton anymore.
Well, the old hearty har har of the jokers around town who went, "I'm gonna go put a mask on the statue." How far away did they come from? Do you think? Was that a Utah County move? Somebody came from 45 minutes, and they go, okay, here's what we're going to do. I've got these masks. You wear them. Because there is security here at Vivint all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot mess around.
It's hard for us to get in this building.
I know, but not just
with
that.
With a badge.
There was
is that a real
there
badge?
There was a person yesterday who was flying a drone just to, like, get pictures.
And right.
They shot that thing out of the sky, okay, with lasers, all right? You better watch out.
They had the person cuffed on the ground, upset, you know, with their face planted in the
cement. They were
definitely
having a discussion with the lady.
Yeah.
And it was cordial, but you could tell with the drone on the ground and her packing her gear up, it ended in the arena's favor. Yeah, so the mask is off of the John Stockton statue. That seems actually
his
more
shorts look longer in the statue than they actually did in real life.
We assigned him much shorter shorts in our mind. He had short shorts on, but like kids nowadays.
They were short.
No, they
shorts.
Were. They were. But I've seen some guys trying, because it's kind of gone back. You've seen the shorts that went way too long.
Yeah.
You think of like the Allen Iverson era. Those things were.
They were knickers.
BYU appropriate.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, they were beyond
now,
that. They'd be conservative for BYU.
Now, we got them hiked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, also some breaking news. Scott's agent.
Oh, boy.
Tony Agnone is going to come on the show here with us. Now, Tony has represented a lot of big names across professional sports over the years. How long has he been your agent?
He was my agent my whole entire career.
How long has he been doing this?
Really then? Interesting in how I found him as an agent. I'm not going to tell you today. You got to tune in tomorrow.
Here's the thing, too, about tuning in tomorrow to hear Tony Agnone. He's got all the dirt on Scott. I just want to ask questions about what kind of client Scott was.
He represented Michael Strahan. You've heard of him before.
Heard of him.
Yeah.
But I just want to ask about what kind of client you were, what kind of client that he – don't roll your eyes at me. Look, you said you're going to – if we're going to get your agent on, we're going to ask him the questions.
Oh, he'll tell you the stories.
So that's what I'm interested in. And I'm interested about this just to see how the business has changed, because we hear about how much of it is a business and how negotiations go and close calls on guys versus guys that, deals that were made, deals that could have been made, all those kinds of things, the behind-the-scenes look with Tony Agnone.
So he had a moment with me, and he's been an agent for a long time. He's been around for a long time.
And he's still doing it right now, right?
1990 was when I was drafted, and he was in the 80s was when he started. So he's
been doing it a long time.
He's been doing this a long time. And he said his best moment as an agent happened one day when he was representing me. I'm curious if he's had another moment like that.
Okay.
That moment was pretty cool.
Well, we'll get it all ready for you tomorrow. Kind of get the inside look from a professional sports agent. Scott, we got to get to the cut here, as we always do.
Oh.
And this is going to be a Jazz edition of the cut, so let's just jump right in here. Let's do it.
The other question. Undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
So as I said, the Jazz and Suns.
Can I ask you a question?
Last night, yes, please.
All right. And I want an honest answer from you.
You know that's the only thing I give you.
An honest answer.
Okay.
I saw a message regarding the Utah Jazz, and I was like, I wonder how many people feel that way. And the comment was, I'll tune in to watch the Jazz in 2 weeks.
You know what?
So my question to you,
from
Alex,
a rating standpoint for
is how
for our association with the
how
Jazz,
do you feel about that? You gonna tune in through all of this stuff, or are you gonna just
well, I'll just
wait
tell you right now.
Comes back?
There's a little bit of I think that all of us have we watch more aggressively and with much more passion when the team's winning. And I'll tell you what happens is this is a hardwired situation that we have built into us as human beings. We protect our hearts by not putting as much energy into things sometimes right. when we know we're going to have our feelings hurt.
So we fight or flight. And
yes.
Sometimes we decide to flight.
If we want to flight for 2 weeks rather than fight it out with the Jazz, I wouldn't call you any lesser of a fan. I'm not saying that you're any less of a fan for doing it, because there's some real – look, you know how it is, Scott. The energy we spend on on the teams that we watch, it's not worth it sometimes because of the heartbreak. Bills fans over this weekend, I mean, they're not going to get over this. Sean McDermott said he's going to feel this in his gut for a long time.
Oh, it's going to hurt.
Forever.
It's going
to
hurt.
And unless he's able to parlay that into a season of happiness of winning a championship of some sort going forward, unless you can, if you stick with the team, and this is not me saying this isn't a fair weather situation either. I don't think you're a fair weather fan because you dip out for a minute while they're trying to work through COVID and injuries. Because I think what they're saying is that I don't think we're that far off of seeing the Jazz do well again. Okay? Seven Jazz men in double figures last night. And when I say seven Jazz are in double figures, Eric Paschal double figures, Jared Butler, Jordan Clarkson led the team with 22, Trent Forrest had double figures, Hassan Whiteside in double figures, Rudy Gay in double figures, Daniel House in double figures, okay? They had seven guys in double figures, Scott, and they only had nine guys available. And so that shows you the type of fight and teammate that makes you love this team. But you know what you're not tuning into is to watch a starting team. Or you're not tuning in for the Jazz to watch Daniel House, Trent Forrest, and Elijah Hughes.
Can I tell you what I think the Jazz should have learned from last night?
Tell me what you think.
And I'm not a big fan of his, and it's only because of what I'm about to tell you. You should be a big fan. Chris Paul. If you watch, Chris Paul has changed the whole culture of
the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And they've talked about this and how this guy is the most annoying, feisty, will never give you an inch ever at any moment. And here are the Utah Jazz.
Does it sound like somebody familiar, by the way? Tom Brady?
Right.
Veteran guy rolls in, has a certain expectation, and the entire organization jumps in line.
And when the game is on the line, Gordy Chiesa brought it up, and he said, here's a guy, this is a closer. This is a guy that closes, and he does. And there's more times than anybody in the NBA where he's had over 10 assists without any turnovers, this guy's – all it means is he's clutch. But when you're having to make decisions and dish the ball and you do it without making mistakes, it's someone you can count on. But it's really an attitude because you're basically playing the Jazz's junior varsity. I'm not making light of it because all these players, it's kind of fun to see Jared Butler start to develop and see some of these Trent Forrest and some of these guys that, have been – it developing for the Jazz and to watch and see that happen. It's awesome, right? I'm not making light of it, but it certainly isn't the ones. And it's very easy to play down to your competition, right? And just say, and in some regards you could say, well, maybe the Phoenix Suns did that. But Chris Paul, when the game was on the line, he's like, I'm not messing around. Okay. I don't care who's playing. I'm playing the Jazz's best or the Jazz reserves. I don't care. And I show up every game, and I show up with a certain type of game and a certain expectation and a certain respect for the game of basketball. And I think it's a great thing for Jazz Nation because we hate, the Houston Rockets and Chris Paul, and he's annoying, and he does his sweep move and flops, and now Devin Booker does it, and it's just annoying. But I don't care. The guy shows up when it really counts, and you have to respect that. But more than just respecting it, like learn from it. And this Jazz team, I think if anything's happened, has been inconsistent. There have been times they just haven't figured out. And Donovan Mitchell's, he's a superstar of this team, and that's the next level for this Jazz team. They talk about winning a championship. Rudy Gobert brought it up. He said, there has to be this willingness to play at a high level and at a certain standard every single night. Whether we're tired, whether it's back-to-back, whether we're playing the first string or the second string, we don't take anything for granted. And we play it the right way every single night. And if anything came out of the game last night for Jazz folks, That's a great lesson right there.
I love to hear that because, in the end, and again, I think
this isn't an indictment either.
No.
I'm just saying.
I'm reading it for what it is. Exactly.
Learn from it. Like, embrace it, incorporate it into your, your preparation for the playoffs as a team.
I'm hopeful. I have a, here's the thing, too. We get so set in what's happening over this last stretch, and they lost to the Warriors on Sunday. It was a 2-point loss, and it was a close one. This one was even closer than I thought it was going to be. They end up losing by 6, going into the fourth quarter with a lead, right? And in the end, I was pleasantly surprised how things worked out. And that's not me trying to be condescending either. The Jazz shot well from 3. They were 14 for 31 from 3. And that's a very normal Jazz stat line on a night that everybody is back and healthy. Didn't shoot particularly well from the line, but, they were 50% on the game. They were 45% from 3, and they made 15 free throws, which usually works out for a W in the Jazz favor.
Here's what I'm curious about last night and the last couple of nights when a lot of the guys are out. Because I'm a believer in, short-term injuries – are challenging, but ultimately they create depth because guys don't have an opportunity to normally play and get minutes and now you have a chance to get meaningful minutes against a good basketball team. It's the Suns' best record in the NBA. So the question to me is this beneficial to the Jazz down the road?
Right.
Do these guys getting these minutes and getting, you know, development time, does that help the Jazz this season? Does it have an impact? Can you count on some of these guys to come in and give you meaningful time when you play? Because you know in the playoffs you're going to have some versatility. You're going to have to be able to match teams in certain situations. And you look at a lot of these young guys, and you know they want to get up and down the court and run. And you see kind of some of that length and that athleticism and the defense that they are showing or developing into. And you just wonder how much of that can help you down the road. That, you know, maybe some of these guys, because you know some of them look like they can score too, and kind of having a little bit more of, you know, because it's kind of like, well, we got to give up some offense to get a defensive player, but maybe you don't. Maybe you have it in the building somewhere with some of these younger guys.
With Donovan out tomorrow, likely, and Rudy both listed on the injury report as of 20 minutes ago. With Rudy and Donovan both out, I think that people just automatically go, yeah, chalk it up as an L. But I think this is – now with this game being at home, not that home has been particularly great for the Jazz this season compared to other seasons, but I think that they must have taken a ton of energy out of the fact that it was a second night of a road back-to-back, and everybody was gone, and they still put together a game that they could have actually won. So I'm interested to see
what they're playing good teams. You know, yeah, Golden State and Phoenix.
These are the best teams.
You know, so
I'm interested to see how this thing works out and what they do learn from these things later in the season. Maybe they point to this and go, when those guys on January 24th got in the game and there wasn't a starter to be seen, and they kept it with as close to the best team on their home floor as possible, maybe it does. Maybe it makes it to where those guys can be more valuable for you down the road. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. More to go on the program. We've got our NFL roundup. We've got our two-minute drill.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.